About this week. So we'll try to get you guys out of here. What we're going to do, we'll go over there when we're done with the message, and then we'll do the communion over there, since some of you, we were at first service, but then the ones that weren't at first service, we'll go over there and do communion with the big service, the main sanctuary. So we're going to start off here in Acts chapter 8, and this is a continuation. For those of you that were here for chapter 7 and Stephen, right, we remember what happened with Stephen. Do you guys remember what happened to him? What happened to him? They appointed people, yep, mm-hmm. Correct.
And Stephen was one of them, and like, he didn't just go teaching to Jews and stuff, he also went to Gentiles, to people who just weren't Jews.
Correct, so they...
And then they got mad at him.
Got mad at him.
And he told them the truth.
Yes.
And then they stoned him to death.
They got really angry with him, and they stoned him. So he's really the first martyr of the church age, right? As we read in Acts... And as they're getting filled with the Spirit, and they're going out and teaching and preaching all across, right? Because that's what God says for us to do, right? We are to be all around the world teaching and preaching. That's what, like, what's really good about, like, the Samaritan's Purse, right? They're bringing the gospel to all corners around the world, to nations around the world, right? Back in the day, before we had all this technology, when we would farm... When they would farm and they would throw grain and seed out, they would just take it and they would toss it out, right? They didn't plant it in rows and stuff like we have now with all this technology. They would throw it out there. And there was a story about in China, in communist China, years and years ago, they found out that Christians like to gather together, right? We gather together, we worship together, we meet in buildings together. So they were getting very concerned that they were starting to share the gospel in these groups. So what the government actually did was they actually took those groups and they took people and they took them to remote areas and other villages where they didn't have family. But the greatest thing was that even though they thought they were going to do good in shutting the church down, they actually spread the gospel because these people were able to go to these villages and now share the gospel of Christ, right? So that's what they do. We go to these four corners. So they got really upset with Stephen. He was speaking truth, right? He didn't speak against Moses and against the law and Jesus, right? He didn't speak foul things and evil things about him. He was agreeing with them, and he came out and he just told them straight up, and he went through the Old Testament like word for word, verbatim, because he was filled with the Spirit, and they didn't like that. And so they killed him. And we start here in chapter 8. We're going to see right here Saul, right? Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, and he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perishes with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So we'll stop there today. We'll just go through these 25 verses and we'll kind of break it down a little. But what we see is here in the first verse of chapter 8 here, it says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death." Right? We know that when the original Bible, when it was printed out, right, there wasn't verses and there wasn't chapters, right? It just was a continual story throughout. They think around the 1200s is when they started putting verses and chapters in the Bible. But here, if you look at this, Saul, he's persecuting the church. If we see this here, this would be like a run-on from chapter 7. So if we taught, chapter 7, we could just run right in and keep teaching. But he says, "Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." So they got scattered, right? Here's Saul. They're upset. The Jews are coming, and they're starting to persecute the Christians. They're starting to persecute the early church, right? And if you look in Acts verse 1, chapter 8, it kind of goes hand in hand. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So they become witnesses for Jesus, right? And they're out there sharing the gospel. And what happens when we do that? We get persecuted, right? Do you see that now more? Because we have internet, we have news media, we have all these outlets that they never had before, but they're getting persecuted the same way then as we are now, as Christians are being persecuted. And that sometimes is a deterrent for people that want to become Christians, or maybe they are Christians, because they don't want to be persecuted, right? So we don't share the gospel. We don't go out there and share the gospel. We're not participating. You know what's so great about watching that video about that Samaritan's purse was how excited those kids were. How excited, the smiles on their faces, and they were running, right? They were running to buildings. They were running because the gospel's being shared. I wish we had that kind of excitement at our youth, right? Running and excited. How many of us wake up in the morning and we're like, "Oh, I got to go to church," right? Are we like that sometimes, kind of complacent? I know I see it with a lot of kids, right? We're not running and excited and like, "I'm going to church, man," and waking our friends up and picking our friends up, right? And commuting here and running and screaming. And we're not doing that. But that's what's so great about seeing those kids. And that's what they were doing here. They were excited about sharing the gospel. They were excited about taking the word of God to the outer parts of their country, to the outer parts of Samaria, where they were supposed to be going. So Saul here, though, right, he is, who knows who Saul is? Who does Saul become later in the Bible? Paul, right? Saul of Tarsus becomes the Apostle Paul, who writes most of our Bible, right? Here he is crucifying, and he's going after Christians, and he'll even tell you later that he committed all kinds of atrocities, right? He was a horrible person. And we'll read that as we go through the book of Acts, because we're going to see in depth who he was. But we see in Philippians 3:5, right? He says, when he's speaking to the Philippian church, he's saying, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, right? He was born of the stock, right? He was the Hebrew. He was born. He was a Jew. He wasn't, he was born of the family. So he's telling them he had this right. And what we see a lot of times is we see that he's thinking he's doing the right thing, right? He's thinking this religion's coming about and he's doing the right thing by persecuting these Christians. And we see that in Proverbs 14:12. It says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. So even as Christians, even as people that proclaim Christ, right, some people, they think they're doing the right thing. They think that they're in the right, but it's something that could lead to death. So as we see here, it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. In some translations, it said he was ravaging, right? He was going through ravaging. And it's sad because at the time, he didn't know what he was doing, and the Christians were getting persecuted. But also what's here, it also says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Lamentation means that they cried out, right? They grieve for him. That's what happens when we die. We grieve. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Right? We don't sorrow for our Christian brothers and sisters like those that we have no hope for. There are people that are dying every day and they have no hope. They have no hope. They don't know. We don't know if they're saved. They don't know if they have salvation, if they're going to heaven, right? So we grieve for them differently than we would for someone like Stephen. And it's sad because we sit here and we look and say, here's this guy that was doing all these right things. He was called by the Spirit and he was out teaching and preaching and he suffers this horrible death. But does anyone remember what Stephen said when he was before he passed away? Do you guys remember what he said about that? Yeah, and it was just kind of like what Jesus said when he was crucified, right? For they know not what they do. Don't be hard on them, right? Don't judge them, for they know not what they do. That was the same spirit that Stephen had in him, right? And how many of us can do that, right? When people do us wrong, when people are horrible to us or say all kinds of things about us, we want sometimes to get revenge, right? And we have every right to as humans, because that's who we are. But the Spirit works different in us. And he was kind and loving to them. So it's kind of sad. Saul, right? And he's going to explain what he did and some of the things he committed, atrocities and things. He'll explain that later on as we go through the book of Acts. But right here in chapter 8, verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken to Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So they get scattered, right? They're starting to get scattered. Paul's coming, he's persecuting the Christians, and now they start fleeing and they start scattering. And now they're starting to take the gospel out to their community. They're starting to take it out to outer areas, which is a great thing for us, right? That's how we got to hear the word, right? Because people of faith, men of faith, women of faith, they shared the gospel and it's continued to grow and continued to hit all the corners of the earth. And the multitudes with one accord, heeding the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So we see Philip going out there and now he's filled with the Spirit, right? And we saw in Acts 2, when the disciples were blessed and they got filled with the Spirit, right? We saw that in Acts 2. So now Philip's going out there and he's preaching the Word of God and he's casting demons out. He's healing people. He's healing crippled people, lame people, paralyzed. And unclean spirits with a loud voice are coming out, right? It's kind of like when Jesus walked, right? And spirits, when there was evil spirits, before he even said anything, right? They were asking, why are you here? And he cast demons out of people through his whole ministry. But it's great to see that these people are being healed all over, and there was a great joy in that city at the time. There was a great joy. I know I'm filled with great joy knowing that somebody spent time teaching the word to me, teaching the gospel to me. You know, I feel great. I feel great that somebody spent that time to do that for me. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. So he's self-proclaiming that he's somebody, right? He's self-proclaiming that I'm somebody great. He was a sorcerer, so he had magic, right? It says that he was a sorcerer, so he performed magic. So people thought, oh, this guy is somebody special. They thought he was somebody at the time until Philip comes down, and then they're finding out that this guy is kind of a fraud. But he's self-proclaiming who he is, and we see that a lot today. We see that a lot out there that people are proclaiming to be great, great people. So we have to be really careful and cautious with that. So to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So people even thought that he was godly. People thought in the community that he was somebody great, but unfortunately he was self-proclaiming and he was performing magic and sorcery. And it says, to them to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, in verse 10 there, and then verse 11, and they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So now Philip comes down, and now they're seeing who Christ really is, right? They're getting filled with the Spirit. Now they're getting baptized, men and women. This guy, Simon here, this sorcerer, he didn't do anything. He just proclaimed himself, but he wasn't doing anything for these people. He was doing it all for himself. And now they see Philip come down, and he's preaching the Word of God, and now they're starting to believe. Now they're starting to get baptized. All right? Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So this guy previously, right? That's what's so great about the gospel. Christ died for all of us, right? It doesn't say he just died for some. Some religious groups, they preach that certain cultures, certain people couldn't go to heaven. You know, that if you were of a certain race, you couldn't go to heaven. That's been taught through some religions. But Jesus came and he died for every single one of us. And it's great because even Simon, this sorcerer, this person that was committing fraud and trickery, even it says even himself believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Is that clock right? Okay, so we got a few more minutes. So like 5 more minutes, we'll get out of here. Go across the way, right? All right, we're almost done. So now when the apostles in verse 14 here, who were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John down to them. So now the gospel's spreading. So now they send Peter and John, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So They were walking in the word, right? They're getting baptized, and then the disciples, the apostles come down, and now they start praying and putting their hands on them, and now these people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. So now these people are going to start learning the gospel, learning the word, right? They're getting filled. And so we see here Peter and Philip, and we see John, and it says right here, verse 8:17, then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 18, now when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. So I heard one commentary, it was really good. Here's a guy who was so used to buying magic, right? And he was a sorcerer, and he was probably paying people for these gifts and stuff. So he was thinking that maybe he needed to pay for this. Maybe it was, you know, it was a commentary, it was really good, that maybe he thought he felt he had to buy this to be able to do it. And what does he say there? Saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I may lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, Your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. So he's telling them, your money is worthless here. You can't buy this. And so this is Peter, right? There's gifts of the Spirit that we hear about, right? And this is a gift of discernment. And we see Peter, who's done this several different times, but he has this gift of discernment. He's saying, repent, therefore, in verse 22, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by the bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. So maybe he really did truly repent, right? Because it looks like he did right here. He's like, no, pray to the Lord for me that these things aren't true, that they're not right. And that's how we are, right? That's how we are as Christians. We pray for forgiveness, like what Pastor Tony said. We utilize verses like 1 John 1:9. We got to continue to confess our sins, right? So we can be faithful. So he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, so they had testified and preached the word of the Lord in verse 25. They returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. This is the start of the church. This is the start of Christianity and what it is for us today. These guys right here going out, laying their hands on people, people being filled with the Spirit, teaching and preaching the Word of God. And that's what we should be doing too, right? We should be sharing and teaching and preaching the Word of God with people in our community, with our youth, with our friends, at school, right? We should be sharing the gospel with friends. All right, we'll get out of here so we can go over there and do communion. Anyone have anything? Anything else anyone needs any prayer for before we go? No? All right. Thank you, Lord, for this word today that you have prepared for us. Thank you for your teachings. And thank you for just allowing us to be here. And I pray, Father God, that we will be excited to share your gospel, to share your word, that we can take it out wherever we go, Father. Just be with these kids today and be with them this week as they go out into this world, Lord. I just pray for protection upon all these kids that are here today, that you watch over them and you protect them as they go to school, as they go out into this world, Lord. We thank you and pray that you just help them be the beacon of light in this lost world, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.